All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, speaking to you here from New York City on the 10th day of April, 2018. Before I talk more about today's show, I'd like to remind you, as I do almost every week, that I am the author of a newsletter called Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks. You can learn more about that by going to miningstocks.com. You can call our office to subscribe, 718-457-1426, 718-457-1426, or you can go to miningstocks.com and subscribe directly there. I'd also like to encourage you to consider subscribing to Chen Lin's excellent newsletter, and you go to chenpicks.com. What is Chen buying? What is Chen selling? Is a newsletter that, it's one that I subscribe to, I receive, and he has lots of really great ideas. Let me just give you an example of one of the things that Chen is looking at very closely now, and one that I have also followed quite closely. That's Sorrento Therapeutics, SRNE, trades in NASDAQ, $6.15 earlier today. They have an innovative ways of treating cancer through adoptive cellular immunotherapy, both solid and liquid tumors. And this is a company that's gaining a lot of attention from some of the top people in the industry, and it just received some approval for the FDA to start human testing on its CD38 CAR T drug that it's using. It's really sort of goes right to the cellular, to the cell in which the cancer is living, and it goes after it directly, and it seems to hold a great deal of promise. Chen just noted that, in fact, some major drivers are in place for this company's progress. First of all, they do have the ability now, the right to start testing this on humans. It has been very successful on animals in the past, but now they'll start the human testing. And there's a deal with a company called Cellularity. It's a private company that in this field that is a very, very major company, and the likelihood of hooking up with a major pharmaceutical company appears to be on the horizon. And then lastly, it seems as though the company may be getting very, very close to if these other things take place, as we think they will, then it looks like the Sorrento will get a listing probably in the Hong Kong exchange as well. So Chen really keeps up with this story very, very thoroughly, and he knows the management, talks to them frequently, and he will help you. If you subscribe to his letter, he can help you as well understand what is happening with this company. And I would suggest, again, it's chenpicks.com if you're interested in subscribing to Chen's newsletter. I want to thank each of you for listening to this show and making it one of the more popular shows in the Voice America Business Channel. And I want to thank you also for sending your questions, comments, criticisms, and praises along. Feel free to do that. Questions4Taylor@gmail.com. Questions4Taylor@gmail.com. I also want to thank our sponsors for making this show economically viable. For today's show, our sponsors are RN Resources, Bonterra Resources, Dynacore Gold Mines, Genesis Metals Corp., Klondike Gold, New Range Gold Corp., Northern Empire, and Novo Resources. And I will be speaking with Ivan Bebek, the executive chairman of RN Resources, after our first commercial break. I've titled today's show, Ron Paul Warns of Tariffs and Rising Economic Storms. the former congressman and presidential candidate, Dr. Ron Paul, will be with me during the second half of today's show, and also Michael Oliver and Ivan Bebek, as I just noted, will be with me as well. President Trump seeks to restore jobs by placing a tariff against imported goods from China. My guest, Ron Paul, during the second half of the hour, he believes that tariffs are not the answer to America's rising economic problems. Rather, he looks to monetary manipulation by the Federal Reserve as the cause for massive trade imbalances and income distribution issues that we're all becoming painfully aware of. What does Dr. Paul think it will take to restore the U.S. economy to the good old days of egalitarian income distribution before the 1970s? And does he continue to believe rising levels of inflation are a threat to the well-being of average Americans? In addition to buying gold and silver, are there other things that can be done that we as individuals can do to protect ourselves from Washington and the Wall Street scavengers? Well, these and several other questions are the issues that I want to ask Dr. Paul about in the second half of today's show. Ivan Bebek, he is the executive chairman of RN Resources, will be with me, as I mentioned, just in a few moments. Actually, RN Resources is managed by Ivan and his partner and others that have had an enormous success in the past, done extremely well in finding viable gold deposits and turning share prices from pennies to many dollars. And it looks like they could be on to another one. In fact, I think it has the best prospects of any of the companies that they've worked with in the past. And so we'll be talking to Ivan right after the first commercial break. But right now, I'm really pleased to tell you that Michael Oliver is with me once again, the most frequent guest on this show. Thanks for joining me again, Michael.
Hi, Jake. Good to be back.
Always good to have you here, almost weekly, thank goodness for that. And I want to tell my listeners, as always, it's Oliver MSA, olivermsa.com, to learn more about Michael's work and also to sign up for his letter. Michael, in your weekend missive, you showed quite clearly that the momentum structure for the NASDAQ 100 had definitely broken down. Yet today, we're seeing the NASDAQ on a tear, as generally the equities are up. I'm looking at the Dow Jones is up 469 points at the moment. Yet I don't think that you're buying it, are you? You're not buying that we're on to another happy days again.
They're broken now. The NASDAQ was the laggard. S&P broke in February, the early February break. But the NASDAQ avoided my numbers astutely, and but it broke them this quarter. So in the first week of April, they're gone. I think that I've argued in reports before that I'm not sure how the outcome is for this bear market, whether it's the potential for a crash-like situation or an arduous, time-consuming decline. I'm more inclined to think it's the latter. That you go in big layers, then you have big fist fights well below the highs that go nowhere, but they're fist fights, and they impress both sides 1 week, then another week, then, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Just right now, S&P, for example, just look at a weekly price chart. Look at the last 4 weeks. Find the midpoint of the last 4 weeks. It's about 8-9% off the high. So we're having a pillow fight way off the high. And I can, and if you look, pardon the term, an idiot chart, you take a price chart of the S&P, go back on a monthly or a weekly, and go back and draw an uptrend line, you can see that, oh my goodness, it's sitting on a line. And the line was defined by the weekly close in February, that sharp two-week drop we had. Then there was a big rebound that lasted until March, didn't make a new high. Then you came back down and squatted on the line for the last 4 weeks. I mean, you didn't hot-foot it off the line. You're just sitting on it. You rally, you come back, you sit on it. So it's hugging the line. I'm talking price charts now. When I run comparable charts using momentum measurements, such as a three-quarter moving average, a 200-week moving average oscillator, and plot the same time period, I'm below the trend structures. This fight is going on below broken uptrend lines that are that jump off the page at you. If you look at the momentum chart, you say, my gosh. You look at the price chart and say, hey, I'm holding. Well, there's a debate there. And I think the debate usually it resolves in favor of momentum. And I've got too much momentum evidence that says, no, you're broken. You can have your little fist fights here and waste a month of whatever you're, you know, it's not, you're not going to go back to the highs, I don't think. I think it's over. Then when I look at the other asset categories, again, viewing these asset categories as changing trend direction, and they've been under in that process for since 2016 in phases. Gold continues to gnaw away at the top end of its range over the last 2 years without breaking down, despite the stock rallies. The dollar can't get a rally going to save its life. It's stuck about a point above its low. It's been stuck in a range for about 8 weeks. It can't get a rally going to save itself. Its major trend is down. T-bonds, interest rates, they should have had a counter-trend rally. They're having one, meaning rates dropping a little bit. But it's a wasted rally. It's going nowhere. It's a six-point rally. In fact, intraday today, we were where we were 6 weeks ago. Okay, so it's a pathetic rally in a major downtrending market. The area that I'm most focused on early this year was the food commodities, which did not participate in the commodity uprising of 2016 and 17 when oil went up big and gold went up big. The foods didn't, grains in particular. They broke out in January and February by my work, and they ran up a bit, 5-10%. Pull back sharply recently. There was a back two levels that they broke out from, by the way. There was a newsy story that came out with the tariff fight between China and the U.S. The Chinese threatened a 25% tariff on soybeans, among other markets. So the soybeans collapsed that day, 50 cents, still above the original breakout points on annual momentum. But within days, they regained the entire thing, and now they're pressing back at the highs again. So in other words, you take these type of news stories that scare everybody. I mean, there was a one-hour drop of 50 cents in the soybeans, which is a big drop. It's been erased, and you're back pressing at the highs. So the food commodities, which I view as a very important portion of the commodity complex, when they reassert themselves and beat their chests and people say, my goodness, foods are in a bull trend, there's commodity price inflation in foods, that's going to have a shock effect, particularly on the debt markets. And I think people will start to realize that this is a contagion that's not just oil and gold. It's across the board in commodities. So when I look at all four asset categories, I continue to see progress in the directions that we expect, period.
Yeah. But I have to wonder, though, if we start seeing a lot of food inflation, if the Fed might not feel like it has to slam on the brakes and
Well, then they'll have a lovely wreck with their stock market then. You know, I can push them well. Once these things get going early on, it's hard to fight them. They can fight them later on after food markets have gone up for 2 years and are sort of exhausted. And then if they try their metrics, their measures, then it might work. But early on, when the top of the pot blows off, there's so much pressure that their efforts are largely a waste of time. Yeah. Assuming they do anything anyway, because it would threaten the stock market.
Yeah. Michael, with a minute or so left here, what about silver? You've commented on gold.
I like it.
Silver, you like it a lot? I mean, I'm hearing a lot of people, technicians.
Silver's behaved differently. It's behaved like the GDX, the gold miners. If you look at a chart, they made a low in 2015 and 16, exploded big time, much bigger than gold on a percent basis. But then they pull back into the middle of that two-year range, the 2016 low, the 2016 high. They pulled back in the middle all of last year and went to sleep. Literally, just a dull, boring trading range, sideways situation. Gold didn't do that. Gold went back up to its highs and nested below the highs. But silver has some attributes, specifically just above 1720. You know, we've traded today up almost to 1660. So, 60 cents above the current market. There's some numbers on silver, which don't mean too much on price, but to us indicate that the lid's going to come off and the silver's going to reassert itself and then go back up, you know, probably go to $25 is where our target would be. So, you know, we're within about 60 cents on silver blowing the lid off this quiet little market. And where you'll see silver reassert itself on a performance basis versus gold. I think it's almost inevitable looking. It's just a matter of when do they do it.
All right, and with regard to gold, I think you're looking at some key numbers at this point in time. Of course, those numbers always change over time, but I think you're looking at looking at something like 1350. We need to clear 1350 or something like that.
That's a price-based number, actually, this time. All our momentum stuff, it just says be long. You should have already been long a long time ago, in February 2016. But there's a price chart level that will wake up the crowds that look at price charts, and basically that's 1350 monthly close. And we've traded above there in the last 3 or 4 months, but we're glued up there. If you look at a price chart of the gold for the last 4 months, it's like gone dead, quiet, nailed between, about 1310 and 1350. Quiet little zone,
Break through that, and we could be looking at much higher numbers, I guess. You're projecting something as high as 1700 ultimately, I think.
My next swing objective, not the end, but just the next.
And not the end, okay.
No.
All right, well, Michael, thank you very much for being with us. Always a pleasure to hear your...
Thank you, Jay.
More than a pleasure, it's a profit-making opportunity hearing your advice, so thank you so much for sharing that with us once again. Well, folks, we do have to go to commercial break, but don't go away. Ivan Bebek, the executive chairman of one of my favorite companies, RN Resources, will be back with us. RN is a company whose shares have not performed very well, but I think that provides an opportunity for those of you who may not own the stock. We'll be right back with Ivan Bebek after the break. Don't go away.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
New Range Gold Corp is a Canadian junior explorer focused on its recently acquired flagship Pamlico Gold Project, located in Nevada, one of the best mining jurisdictions in the world. Known as one of Nevada's highest grade gold districts, Pamlico was held by private interests for most of its history and remains largely unexplored. Drilling by New Range is already confirming the legendary grades of the district with intercepts up to 341 grams gold per ton. Well financed with no debt, New Range is unlocking shareholder value at Pamlico and trades under TSX symbol NRG. A gold rush has begun. Recently, three of the largest gold mining companies announced strategic acquisitions in the Yukon Territories. Ahead of them was a group who had already consolidated the key claims covering the historic Klondike Gold Rush into one company, aptly named Klondike Gold Corp. Led by a team of accomplished geoscientists, the company is steadily advancing exploration to reveal the rich source of all that gold. The hunt for the next major discovery is well underway, and Klondike Gold's shareholders are strategically positioned. Stay ahead of the majors and follow KlondikeGoldCorp.com.
We're always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.